Questions. The discussion between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Rai. And it's important because, as their discussion covers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai specifically, what is the best thing that a person can do? And he's not satisfied with anything other than the best. And so we find, as we'll see in the next couple of weeks, in this chapter, in text number 59, this is 57, in text number 59, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply to what Srila Ramananda Rai says is that this is external. You had better tell me something, some other means. In other words, he rejects the statement of Srila Ramananda Rai. And that's rather curious that he rejects it. And it's curious for a couple of reasons. One thing is that here, Padasloka Sadayera Nirnaya, he asked him for not just his advice, but he says, recite a verse. And recite a verse from where? From the revealed scriptures. So there's not a game of speculation going on here. He's asking him, cite a verse from revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. And so Ramananda Rai, also a very great authority, as proven by his discussion here, great authority on the Shastra, a great devotee of the Lord, Ramananda Rai replies with Shastric evidence. He responds by quoting a verse from scripture about what is the ultimate goal of life, yet the Lord rejects it. The Lord rejects it. So it's curious in that regard why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting it. And it's further curious in that if we see what actually he's rejecting. Ramananda Rai quotes a verse about performing one's prescribed duty according to the Varnashram system. Now, what is the Varnashram system? The Varnashram system, just very briefly, could be described as acts according to prescribed duties. And so what are these acts done with? The acts are done with the body. We know, from what we know of Varnashram, if one's a brahmana, he has certain duties, kshatriya has certain duties, vaishya has certain duties, sudra has certain duties. And these are activities which are carried out with the body. I mean, you act with the body in different ways. And it's not that the actions you're carrying out with the body are just whimsical. They're prescribed very in great detail in the Shastra. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting. But if you think about it for a minute, what is sadhana bhakti? Sadhana bhakti is also acts which are done according to instructions, the instructions of the guru and the shastra, acts done with the body, and they're for the same purpose as the varnashram duties. Varnashram duties are also, as described here, meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verse which Ramananda Rai quotes next. That Varnashram is meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the activities of sadhana bhakti are also meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what's the difference? Why reject one and accept the other? Can anybody say? What's the difference? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting acts which are according to prescribed duties to please the Supreme Lord. That's the goal of life. That was the question. He's rejecting that. But sadhana bhakti is the same thing. They're acts performed with the body meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mother Lakshmi.
Is primarily an attempt to organize society and provide within that context an opportunity for people to make spiritual advancement. So almost the primary emphasis is on organizing society and keeping everybody happy materially while they at the same time make spiritual advancement almost inadvertently. Whereas sadhana bhakti, the focus is on spiritual advancement. And we at the beginning, of course, in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we do it as a matter of duty, but already the decision has been made. My goal is to go back to Godhead, therefore I'm following the spiritual master, therefore I'm doing these things.
Very good, very good. Thank you. Anybody else have any other thoughts they want to share? Yes.
Also, we're not there yet, but when Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy continue talking, when Lord Chaitanya finally does accept, it's to hear in about Krishna in the association of devotees. So that's like the first thing we learn about in sadhana bhakti. The first two principles are to hear and to chant Krishna's glories.
Okay, good. Yes.
Devotional service. Is this on?
Yeah.
Devotional service can involve more surrender, where we stay in an occupational duty that might be more psychophysical, our physical in nature, and might not be as surrendered a position.
Okay, good. Yeah, these are all good. One more, then we'll over here.
Sadhana bhakti is directly under the instruction of the guru, whereas varnashram is a general thing, so it's actually serving the guru directly.
Okay, yeah, these are all very good. I have a couple of ideas that I wanted to present as well in this regard, but I like all the things that you said because I think they're true. They make the distinction between varnashram duties and activities of sadhana bhakti. And in the Gita itself, doesn't either in the verses or in Prabhupada's purports, the explanation is there that devotional service looks very similar to other duties, but there's a difference. So these things may look similar, performing activities according to varnashram and performing activities of sadhana bhakti. But there's a big difference, and that comes out in the whole discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. We're just at the beginning here, and it goes very, very deep. But here are two thoughts that I had about this. You know, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very beginning, there's a discussion of prayaschitta, of atonement. And the intelligent disciple, Parikshit Maharaj, after being tested by his guru, Sukadev Goswami, is able to make some distinction between activities of prayaschitta and devotional activities. And the discussion there is that what is the use of prayaschitta, which doesn't really seem to contain a conscience to it. There's no internal change that has to be made. And the examples given, like an elephant, An elephant may be dirty, and he goes in and takes a bath. But then as soon as he comes out, he uses his trunk to throw dirt back on him. And we can imagine this process goes on and on and on and on and on. Cleansing, getting dirty, cleansing, getting dirty. This is prayaschitta. It's activity that's prescribed in the Vedas. Again, we're in the Vedic paradigm here. So these are activities within the Vedas that one performs, and to free oneself of reaction to those activities, one performs another activity. But all of this goes on without much internal cleansing. Now, I want to read to you just a description of the Vedic view that I use in my ethics course at Bhaktivedanta College. And it talks about the Vedic view of right and wrong and also performing activities in Varnashram Dharma. Right and wrong have no sanction of the inner character or motive. The simple sanction behind them is that of the gods. Sin is regarded simply as disobedience to the commands of a god like Varuna. One is free from sin not by changing his heart, his intentions or motive, but by simply repeating rituals directed towards the gods. Perhaps Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not accepting what Ramananda Roy is saying about performance of duties in the Varnashram system, because he wants to distinguish between this kind of activity where the character or the motive or the inner thoughts aren't part of one's actions. One simply performs rituals without necessarily having to change one's character. Varnashram can be seen like this. Indeed, as the author here says, Varnashram dharmas are to be followed quite mechanically. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to see this kind of mechanical attitude or mechanical approach, and therefore he rejected this the Varnashram duties, because there's more than just simply prayaschitta activities, sinning, performing another act to counteract the sin, sinning again, performing another act to counteract it. A lot of the Vedas are directed like this. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know he came to give something higher, something more confidential. And so therefore, this is one idea about why he rejected this Varnashram system, following the duties of Varnashram mentioned by Ramananda Rai. A second reason, which is related, is that perhaps Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to distinguish between external duties and more confidential knowledge. You know, from the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says right at the beginning that I want to give you something here that's the most confidential knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." And the chapter is entitled what? Chapter 9 is entitled what? The Most Confidential Knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be rejecting Ramananda Roy's statement as external, because there is more intimate, there's more confidential knowledge to be had. Indeed, he says, "Tell me something more." His rejection isn't that you're wrong, you know, what you said is incorrect. No, what he said is correct, but it's at a certain level, and there are other levels of knowledge. There are other reasons for acting for the goal of life that are more confidential. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is introducing this idea by telling Arjuna that there's more confidential knowledge. Thus far I've told you this, now let me tell you more confidential knowledge. So what is that more confidential knowledge? Can anybody say, if the external knowledge focuses on actions which are performed by the material body, what kind of idea do we have about something that's more confidential? Anybody? Can anybody say? What would be that more subject matter, that more confidential knowledge? Nobody? Something, yes?
But the next level up is you're not the body, you're a spirit soul.
Right.
But very general.
Right, that's a general but correct answer. The activities of Varnashram Dharma are activities performed by the body, external activities meant to please the Supreme Lord. But most confidential knowledge has to do with the soul. And I want to read from you from Prabhupada's purport to the second verse of this ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he describes just this. He says, where does he say? Okay. There are so many departments of knowledge all over the world and many huge universities, but there is unfortunately no university or educational institution where the science of the spirit soul is instructed. Yet the soul is the most important part of the body. Without the presence of the soul, the body has no value. Still, people are placing great stress on the bodily necessities of life, not caring for the vital soul. The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord says that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. That is a confidential part of knowledge. Simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from the body and that its nature is immutable, indestructible, eternal. So Prabhupada says that the soul's activities are what constitute more confidential knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy about the ultimate goal of life. So if you have to consider what is the ultimate goal of life, you have to consider all parts of what is this body, not just the activities of the senses, especially activities performed without any conscience. You have to consider the soul. If you consider such complete knowledge, then you can understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Ramananda Roy's proposal for Varnashram activities. So these are a couple of ideas that I had about why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected as external this instruction from the Shastra given by Srila Ramananda Roy. Does anybody have any questions or comments about this subject matter? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I've often been puzzled by this stage of explanation of service, devotional service, and because it talks about prescribed duties, Varnashram at this level, but it seems to imply that it's done with the right consciousness. And for it to be devotional service,
for us it seems like it would involve consciousness, but Vedic culture, for a large part of Vedic culture, it didn't involve consciousness. Actually, scholars that study the Vedic period and the influence of the Vedas and the Smritis and the Upanishads, they describe that only in the Upanishads, which is Bhagavad Gita is included in, does this idea of inner conscience really come up. Particularly in the Vedas, there's much that has to be done with sacrifice, and this whole idea of prayaschitta, as I mentioned from the Srimad Bhagavatam, just discussed. Consciousness or motive doesn't matter. You just perform one action, and to avoid the reaction, you perform another action. And an inner change of character is not part of the equation. It's because we don't know the Vedas, we haven't studied the Vedas, therefore we should be careful when we say we follow the Vedas. Because maybe we don't follow the Vedas, or maybe we don't want to follow the Vedas, and especially if it means erasing our consciousness, our endeavor to change our heart. Second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service, a change of heart. And that's not there in all Vedic rites and rituals.
In the purport, Prabhupada said something about this is loving service while performing their occupational duty.
Yeah, but Prabhupada is, in his purport, you correctly point out, he talks about Varnashram, but he's not talking about this sort of consciousness, Varnashram. He's talking about devotional service, and he specifically says that having the knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Lord and then engaging in one's occupational duties is different than just engaging in one's occupational duties. So if you read Prabhupada's purport carefully here, you see how he includes a consciousness of Krishna in the performance of one activity, and therefore it's bhakti yoga. Not just that the performance of varnashram duties is bhakti yoga without a consciousness of Krishna, or without an endeavor, Prabhupada says later in the purport, to giving the results of one's activities to Krishna. Much of we talk about daivi varnashram as opposed to varnashram. Daivi varnashram is the performance of one's duties, but it's more than that. It's with a consciousness of Krishna, and it's giving the results to Krishna. Performance of varnashram without that is a much different kind of a thing.
Thank you for that. One additional thing that's often puzzled me is giving the results to Krishna. So I would try to think, so what are some of the results? Obviously, the fruit of the money part, but then I was thinking whatever fame we might gain or recognition, give all credit to Krishna, things like that.
Yeah, when Radha Raman Maharaj was here this past week, he was giving a class, and in the class, it said that Prahlad Maharaj was explaining in the verse that one should give everything to Krishna. So the question came up, what does it mean to give everything? Everything that one has in one's possession, what does it mean? What does that mean? And so it means what? It means give everything. So how to do that? Well, I mean, use everything that you have in the Lord's service. You have a house in the Lord's service, then you invite the Lord's devotees there, you worship the Lord there. You do as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm the caretaker of your property. You cultivate that consciousness. Family members, I take care of them only in that they relate to you. So our acharyas, they've given us examples, and we have to find them out how everything can be given to Krishna. And just giving the money, the fruit like that, that can also be sort of ritualistic. You know, I do it and I give, but how are we giving, you know? Are we lamenting that I can't give more, or what's our consciousness in what we're doing? So being Krishna conscious is what we're asked to do with everything that we have in our possession. So, yes, Madan Mohan.
What happens if we perform devotional service and sometimes we're not so conscious? Is that Ajñāta Sukriti or Niyamagraha, where we sometimes can fall into this? I'll just come and I know that's, you know, if I offer my food, then I won't get a sinful reaction, or if I just come regularly, then that's better than sleeping, you know, it's so.
That's why this is the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, we're supposed to do everything with the right consciousness and to reform our consciousness. Now, we may be like that, but if we're at a beginning stage, so therefore we take the instruction of the spiritual master and we execute it to the best of our ability with the consciousness we have. But by just that little bit of an endeavor to try to please the Lord and the spiritual master by doing things, even if it's not constant, if it's just sort of flickering, you know, in Madhurya Kandambini it describes like that, how the consciousness is flickering in the beginning. But that's good. We should do that. But ultimately we should understand we have to come to the point of being fully conscious all the time and doing, not just conscious, but with love. I've been thinking recently, we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you think, oh, this is the mantra. I have to concentrate. But is it just a mantra? Is it just a mantra? No, it's the Lord Himself. We can develop a loving relationship with the holy name of the Lord. It's not just another mantra that we chant. It's the Lord Himself. And so we can always become more conscious of what we're doing, and that should be our endeavor in life. Yes.
It seems that to focus exactly on this point, it's a little slippery. To always, like for yourself, how do you bring the mind all the time to that apex of that specific point on how to focus on this point that you're making, how to do this with the most consciousness and to develop that?
Well, I don't. I'm only trying to repeat it because that's you know, to try to repeat and follow. So that's what I'm trying to do by saying like that. So how it's done, Krishna says in the Gita to Arjuna, he asks also, well, how is this done? By constant endeavor and practice. Isn't that what he says? So that's what we have to do. That's sadhana bhakti.
That was a slippery answer.
It's a truthful answer, Prabhu. Anybody else have anything? Yes, Madhulakshmi.
One thing, and we definitely have to develop consciousness of Krishna and just become conscious. But our intention is almost a different thing. Mm-hmm. And we start with our intention. And I saw, like at the beginning when you asked the question, what's the difference between Varnashram and Sadhana Bhakti? For me, that was the main difference, is the intention, that one engages Sadhana Bhakti because I want to serve Krishna. I'm not there yet. I don't see Krishna. I don't necessarily know who Krishna is, but I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve my spiritual master because by pleasing him, I will attain love of Krishna, or I'll attain some kind of purification. But my intention drives my action, and by my action, my consciousness develops.
Yes, very good. Excellent. Excellent point. Our intention is so important because that's something we do have control over right now, right here and now, at every stage of our existence, what our intention is. So, yes, our intention should be to serve Krishna. And then Krishna will help us in different ways. The spiritual master will help us to reciprocate with us in different ways to give us opportunities to purify our consciousness. Thank you. Anything else anyone has? Yes, Prabhu?
sometimes I get discouraged that my efforts are so small, and I think of that bird, mother bird, that tried to drink up the ocean to rescue her eggs, but she was helped by a higher divine personality.
Mm.
And I think Krishna does that with us. Our effort may be puny, sometimes consistent, not consistent. But then his reciprocation is so much more than our proportionate of giving and doing. He attracts us past our point of being able to do something.
Hmm. So let me add, that's very true. Let me ask you a question, and just to follow up that. Where, or should I say, in whom is that, all what you said, embodied?
Embodied?
Yes.
The spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki! Jai! It's embodied in Srila Prabhupada. No one encouraged us more than he did by coming at great sacrifice to himself and tirelessly. Someone told me recently, I said something like, I'm tired, and he said, come on, Prabhu, you know, Prabhupada was 71 when he came to America, and he tirelessly worked for 10, 12 years to save us. You know, why are you tired? You're tired, who, you know, you shouldn't be tired. Look at Prabhupada's example. So he tirelessly gave his life energies to save us. So we should be grateful there.
And Prabhupada blesses us every day. He puts us on the map, you know, lets Krishna know that we're here.
Yes. He hasn't stopped giving us that mercy. So I think that's a good place to end. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.